Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another edition of the Mundane Festival Podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lamberth. Today is Sunday, April 11th, 2021. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast listening apparatus. And if you're really into this, I need you to go over to Apple Podcasts, give this show a 5-star review, let everybody know why you like it, because it's the right thing to do. Why would you keep this amazing show to yourself? Why would you not share this? Why would you be selfish? You know, there's so much selfishness in this society, in this world. We would be in a better place if we just shared with each other, if we were more kind to each other. A great man, nay, a great black man who was inside of a purple dinosaur suit once said, "Sharing is caring." And I think he was right. I think he was absolutely right. And I also think that if you want to take your love and appreciation of this show to the very next level, you need to go over to patreon.com/mundanefestival and become a patron. It's $3 a month. It's less than anything that you could get at Starbucks or at Krispy Kreme, to be quite honest. Good donuts. Pretty fucking expensive, though. They just opened up one across the highway from me. I have not been yet, but I did drive past it, and it opened this past Tuesday, and there were cars like wrapped around, and it's right off a major highway, Route 4, here in Hackensack/Paramus, and it was a shit show. The cops had to be there. I remember years ago, we got a new Sonic. This was maybe 10 years ago. It was so bad that I got turned away and I had to go to like this other burger place that was whack. And, but I remember hearing a story that somebody ran over a cop's leg to go to Sonic. And Sonic is good to me when they do it right, when they're not bullshitting, you know, at its best. Sonic is pretty good fast food burgers. They have pretty good fast food burgers, but not to run over a civil servant's leg. And I know cops have been getting a bad rap these days, but this is where I make the turn to make the podcast more popular. Hey, all cops aren't bad, you guys. Let's just say that a lot of them are trying to do a good job. And that guy was trying to get through the day and not get his leg run over because he was protecting a Sonic. You know what I mean. And don't try to twist my words in saying that I'm an All Lives Matter guy. This is episode 498. I have a super special brand new guest, Alexis Guerreros. He's a comedian and podcaster. He's the host of the television show The Cooligans Podcast, along with friend of the podcast, Christian Polanco. And I'm going to share that conversation that I had with Alexis with you in a few minutes. Right now, I just want to talk to you for a little bit. I'm sitting here in my apartment post a nice turkey sausage, butterball turkey sausage and scrambled eggs breakfast. And I don't know, this week has been okay. I had a revelation. My manager had a revelation, which was, I think now that we're on the same page. He's been good, pretty good for me. He's been good for me so far. He got me on Broadway, helped get me on Broadway. But we came to a deeper understanding where he was like, "Oh, I get it now." He saw a movie, a very popular movie, which I think I'm going to get into on Patreon, the next Patreon I post. But he saw a movie that's very popular, and he saw a guy. He saw a guy and was like, "That should be Chris." I was like, "You're fucking right. It should have been." But I digress. This week has been it's been okay. It's been sad. I mean, yesterday. Well, I'm recording this on Saturday. breaking the fourth wall. And we lost DMX on Friday. He'd been in the hospital for about a week before he passed. And I'm not going to act like I was his biggest fan, just to be honest. But he was super talented. I liked him. He's just, it's just like, oh, I like that guy. He's great. He can spit. He gets you hyped. And it just seemed like now that he's passed, and people say this all the time when people pass, but a person's life is when they pass, you think about, even though you never met him, you think about how that person made you feel, especially when that person was an artist. And I think like when an artist of his magnitude passes like that, and who had a lot of success, despite the pain that he grew up with, it's almost like he did his job in a way. I mean, I kind of look, it's like the silver lining of it all. Like, he brought so much joy to a lot of people, and yeah, man, it's just sad. Like, especially when we lose a black artist, it always touches me in some kind of way, and I feel some kind of way about it. But yeah, like just the stories that everybody's sharing on Twitter, it's just amazing how this dude seemed to be in so much pain, but he was just so sweet to people. There's stories of him being at a Waffle House and mopping the floor. I think there was a pregnant woman that was working there, and he was just there like at 4 a.m. or something. It's on Twitter. I don't have all the details, but I did read something about that before I cut the mic on. And he just like helped people, you know, he mopped the floor for this woman that was working at Waffle House. There was one time he was in Buffalo where he went to an IHOP and started making omelets for people, and he was at a dancing with these Albanian people at a wedding and a gig. Someone said this, and I think it was spot on. They said he was kind of like the
I didn't get that.
Siri,
try again.
Siri, I did not ask you to come up on here. I didn't even say her name. See, now this is the MacBook working against me now. Sorry about that, guys. he was essentially the black Bill Murray. He was a lot less mysterious than Bill Murray was, but he was with the people. He was a man of the people, and he wasn't, people just have these great stories where they would just be talking to him. Like, there was one story where he was talking to someone at the mall or something, or there was a kid that was selling Girl Scout cookies, and the girl was telling him that she wanted to like win the competition of how many, you know, selling the most cookies. And he bought like $500 worth of cookies. And just like this, he just seemed like a really kind soul for his rap persona to be so aggressive and intense, you know? But I just remember his music just like getting you hyped. And then like just like at these dance parties that we used to have, like I went to a predominantly I went to a PWI in Northeastern, in the Northeast region, and in the area where I'm living now, essentially in Maryland. I live in Jersey, you know what I'm talking about. And the black parties would be this hardcore hip hop shit. And I just remember like somebody mentioned like Money Cash Hoes on Twitter, and I immediately got this rush of like, oh, I remember these dance parties with the black dance parties at in college, like these beautiful black women dance up on you for like the all like five songs in a row. Oh my God. I remember dancing with this one girl. Oh my God. Thank you, DMX. Oh my God. Like it just took me back to college. And again, like I don't want to say that I was a complete scholar of his catalog, but he got the party going. And you wouldn't think that his music, I mean, I guess you, yeah, because I was never a big club guy. So the best experiences of like going, being out and shit in college is like pretty black girls dancing up on you at the party, man. And DMX was a part of that. And yeah, he was just that dude, man. And I know he'll be missed. And I mean, that's the kind of mark that you ultimately want to leave on people. It's just, death is such a finite, mysterious thing. And it's just going over to the other side. It's fucking crazy, man. I don't know. I'm rambling a lot, but I just think about, it's so sad how he went. I hope somebody does like a really good, I read the New York Times obit, but I had his Drink Champs episode on, last night as I was like getting ready for bed, but I think I'll just have to revisit that. But, yeah, RIP to Earl Simmons, man. He was definitely a hip hop legend, and, he will be missed. So I just want to get you guys that I just want to get you guys to Alexis Guerreros. I met years ago doing stand up, and he had this great podcast, back in the day called Show Me Your Bits, where comics would come on to the show and you take a bit and you'd start the show with a bit of yours that was recorded from a set that you did. And, you just talk about it. Then you talk about your life and all that stuff. And Alexis had that show, and it was really fucking cool. And, I think that was one of my favorite podcasts back then, 'cause it was just like a talk show type thing. And I really dug it. And, he now has a show on Fubo Sports TV called The Cooligans, which started from his podcast of the same name with Christian Polanco. And I've just been trying to get him on for years, and we just never got around to it. And I was like, look, dude, I need you to, he was on, he was doing an Instagram live with his lovely wife, Dee, who's a nurse and also a great photographer. And, I just happened to click on it, and I was like, come on my podcast. And he saw it, and he was like, dude, just call me. And so, yeah, we'll do it. And so we made it happen. This was recorded about a week and a half ago, I want to say. And this was in the bank. And it was just this is just a really cool, chill, fun episode of just comics shooting the shit. And he's got to come back on. He was in a bit of a time crunch, so this was a relatively short one, but we covered some stuff. And yeah, this was really fun to get to chat with him and get this on wax. So please enjoy my conversation with the very talented Alexis Guerreros. I know your career's going well, because you're memed up, dude.
Oh, I don't know what, every time someone takes like a photo of me, I become a meme. I don't know what happens. At least every 3 years.
It's a great photo. Pick. I thought it's a good, I was like, what's wrong with this? It's a really good pick of you.
It's a stupid, cheesy smile, but it's one of those where like I set my iPhone up.
Yeah.
And I would hit the thing and it goes to 3 seconds and it caught me a little too early in the smile. So I took like 30 of these photos and I sent it to Christian. And Christian is, if people don't know, he's my podcast co-host, and everyone thinks of him as the nice one, you know?
Okay. Both of you are pretty nice. You're just more gregarious.
Yeah. Okay. Let me Google that word real quick.
You're loquacious. You talk a lot.
Don't go gregarious with loquacious, my guy.
Right? Let me see if I use that shit right. Keep talking.
I'm algorithms. Everyone thinks of him as the nice one. He sabotaged me, man. Of all the photos, he picks the one where I look like a child. The smile looks like, you know, can we swear on the show?
Yeah, say whatever you want.
Yeah, he looks like you got your dick touched for the first time. It's like, ooh, you know, is the look. And my fans know, like, I've said this from day one. Like, I love roasting people. I love making fun of whatever happens. But, hey, if the opportunity comes for me to be roasted or whatever, go for it. The harder you go, the harder I'm going to laugh. Well, that is being tested.
Right? Oh, shit.
They won't stop, man. It's hilarious. I don't care. I think it's funny, but they won't stop. And to me, it's like, go for it. You know, The funnier it is, the better.
Yeah, at least your fans aren't trying to harass women online. So
Yeah,
that's
very much not. Our
you gotta
show's not on
love
Barstool. Come on.
it. It's too much of that shit going around. So at least,
Yeah.
but I just thought it's a great pick, and you took that yourself, like a timer type thing.
Yeah, so I have like this whole setup here for the TV show, and I have a cell phone clamp because every once in a while they ask us to shoot like promos with this background,
Right.
and with this camera it just doesn't work. So I have like a little cell phone clamp and just hold it, and it's like the perfect height to get just enough of the kit I'm wearing, but not the full belly. You know what I mean? And and I just thought like it's a new kit. It's actually really cool. I still have it here because we're gonna do an unboxing, but it's got the
Okay.
Jimi Hendrix box. It's
Nice.
yeah, it's Jimi Hendrix is from Seattle, so they did a whole thing celebrating him, and it's really cool. And so I took a big picture smiling, and we both were supposed to both. But Christian, who's like this beautiful dude, he has
Yeah.
like, and he grew his hair out during COVID.
Yeah.
He hasn't cut his hair, so he's got like the bandana in it, so he looks like he's got the afro, and he's got like mood lighting and a smoke machine. And I'm like a nerdy kid, you know. Oh, I
He
was so
looked like
mad.
Jimmy. He looked like Jimmy
He
in those
does, dude. Someone called him Stimmy Hendrix.
Yeah, I love Christian. Christian, we are actually doing Zoom over the computer that he told me to get, the new MacBook, my very first baby's first MacBook Pro.
Yeah, dude, you switching to Apple. Big
Yeah.
deal.
I for years my camera was fucked up, so I during COVID, like, yeah, we're still going through it, but early on I got a I had to get an external camera, and like it was just kind of crapping out. But he told me to get the computer that I the Samsung that I had, no, Toshiba, and it's a good computer. It's lasted for 5 years. I just wanted to get a new one, and where I'm not in a position where, oh shit, I gotta get a new one. And he
Yeah.
So he I always bug him like, Christian, I need a
Yeah.
new
I mean, he was Diddy's IT guy, so
yeah
bother him. Yeah.
right
Yeah.
right
I mean, he's the guy to go to.
yeah
Half the stuff we do as a podcast or were ideas in my head, he was the ability to get those ideas like
right
on screens where people could see them. I was like, we should do Twitch. And that was the end of my idea. And he was like, I have the capability of putting us on Twitch. I was like, awesome.
The last time he was on, which was almost a year ago, there was a segment of the pod where I was just asking him about Apple computers, and we went to the website, and he was like, "Yeah, you might want to get this, this, and this."
Yeah.
And I followed up with him. S you speaking of Twitch, I think I saw a couple weeks ago that you got a PS5, right?
Yeah, I finally got a PS5 after trying for weeks on end.
Yeah. So had you been trying for like 4 months, or since it came
Well,
out, or?
Christian got one and he was trying. And I was like,
Okay.
I'm not even gonna pretend to try. I'll just like, I'll wait, I'll wait, I'll
Yeah.
wait. And then like that time where it was like more readily available never came. So
Right.
I was like, well, you know, I said to him, I was like, yeah, I think I'm gonna get one. He goes, you should get one because then we could both play each other on Twitch or
Right.
whatever. And he shot me a link and he goes, hurry up, order. And it wouldn't work. So he sent me all like the Twitter accounts he was following.
Yeah.
And every time I got the alert, I would jump to try to do it. And it wasn't working. I even went so far as to download a bot that would like scan through Amazon.
Really?
Yeah, and
Wow.
that it didn't work. It was garbage. Like it would find the item, but by the time it would like alerted you, it was already gone. So
Oh.
super lucky. I happened to be we were filming the show actually. And obviously we still do it remotely. And
Yeah.
we were taking like a 20-minute break and they were like, all right, change your shirts because now we're filming a segment for the next episode. And when we get back, we'll do this, this, this. So we have 20-minute break. And as soon as they said 20-minute break and people started like leaving the meeting, I got the alert and I clicked on it and I hit refresh, refresh, refresh on Amazon, and I finally got it. I got it in
Yeah.
my cart and I hit the submit button. It went through and I looked up and I had like 3 minutes to change my shirt. So I
Oh
just like
shit.
ran, put on a different shirt, and I put on a shirt that I'd worn like the previous episode. So they're like, dude, you're making us late again. Go change your shirt.
You're like, I got a PS5. You don't
Yeah.
understand.
But I couldn't say anything. I was like super excited. I
Oh.
text Christian like I got a PS5, but he uses a PC, so he doesn't get the text on his computers.
Okay.
So he didn't see it until afterwards. But I was so excited. I was like, I couldn't say anything. But that whole interview, I'm just like, you know.
Yeah, man, it was hard. Like, I did Ritu Chandra. She's a Jersey comic. You know Ritu, right?
I
Yeah.
know the
And
name and we've worked together, but I don't think I've ever like officially like like had a conversation with her, but yeah. She's great. Yeah.
She's cool as hell. Like she was trying to get me a vaccine and a fucking PS5.
Damn. Might as well throw in some like, you know, exclusive Jordans in there.
I know. So she was telling me the same thing about the different sites, the different accounts to follow on Twitter. And I tried for a couple of weeks and I was like, fucking, I'm going to just take a break. And then I got one from Target finally, because I downloaded the Target app and like put all my credit cards on there.
Yep. You had to get it all prepared.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was like, it was giving me a hard time and kept saying like close to me, like Hackensack, Paramus, all these towns in New York. And it eventually went out to like Burlington, New Jersey, which was an hour and a half away. And so I said, fuck it. I took a half day off work and just went down there.
I almost did the same thing, because at first Christian got his through Best Buy and he went to pick it up. Mm-hmm. And the closest Best Buy to me is Atlantic, which is like right where the Nets play.
Right.
And I'm like, dog, I'm definitely going to get robbed walking out of there with this. Like, it's the busiest train station in all of New York City. You know
and
what I mean?
And it's so big, you can't really put it in a bag.
No. So, and it's got a handle. Yeah. I'm like, I'm going to be walking, and I'm only like maybe
getting knocked out
15 blocks. But I'm like, dog, walking 10, 15 blocks in Brooklyn with a PS5. You know what I mean? No. I might as well be walking with a clear duffel bag full of money. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it just doesn't make sense. So I was like, do I bring a big, like, I was going to bring like an IKEA bag and like cover it, or like, I was trying to think of like all the different ways. So I just stayed away from Best Buy and Target, because I do have a car, but my wife, who's a nurse, now uses that to get to the hospital in on the Upper East Side, because she doesn't want to be taking the train, because she doesn't want to make her patient sick or whatever. You know, she's a responsible human being. So she used the car. So I was like, I can't be like, babe, I need the car instead of you. You go take the train to be a hero.
I gotta get a PlayStation.
I gotta go pick up a PS5.
Yeah,
but I almost picked the place in Jersey just to be like, I'll go visit my mom. I haven't seen my mom in a year. I was like, I'll go visit my mom in Newark and I'll go pick up the PlayStation. But it didn't work out. But luckily, Amazon actually did ship it. I assumed that because any package I had ordered from Amazon that was the size and shape and weight of a PS5 or a potential PS5 had been broken into.
Oh, my God.
So every Amazon package. So I ordered a couple reams of paper for my printer. And, I just reminded myself I need to do something. I ordered a bunch of reams of paper, like 3 reams of paper and something else. And it came in a big box and it was open and like retaped. Every time, like 3 or 4 times it's happened. So I was like, yo, they're looking for PS5s. But luckily I got mine. I don't know how, but I got it.
See, that's another thing you just got to watch. I'm sure you live in a decent neighborhood, but it's just like shitty people.
I mean, is New York, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like someone's always going to touch something, you know?
Yeah.
And like, I respect it. Like, if you could, like, when I was young, I would get like iPods and shit from my friends that worked at like, you know, whose uncles worked at UPS.
Something fell off the truck.
Yeah. So I get it. Like, I know I got that karma coming back to me at some point.
Yeah.
I was glad it wasn't with the PS5, you know?
Oh my God, man. So what do you think of it so far? You're a big FIFA guy. Can you tell the difference? The next gen? Difference?
Not really. to be honest with you, it does seem like smoother,
and
faster. Like you could tell, like the last FIFA 20 on it was sort of not pushing its limitations, but you were like, this is what this machine could do. You know,
right?
This one seems like it's more. There's a lot more involved in it. Like there's a light on the outside that turns orange when it's like downloading stuff. It's right here on my desk, and I'm like, what the hell is this thing doing? Like, I'm not fully aware of how to use it just yet. Like, I'm just learning how to transfer from Xbox to this.
Sure.
So, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it's a really good machine. I only downloaded 2 games, which is FIFA 21 and NBA 2K21.
Yeah.
And I'm trash at both right now.
I'm trash at both, too.
Dude, you know, the problem is, too, it's like switching to different players in NBA. I still have, like, FIFA controllers in my whatever muscle memory. So, like, I'm just picking, like, random offenses and shit. I'm trying to play with just the Knicks, which is clearly an issue.
Oh, my God, dude.
Yeah. Yeah. Clearly, I'm wrong.
But they're not that bad this year, though.
They're not that bad, but they're certainly not a video game team. You know, they're they're a hard scrabble defensive NBA team. They're not, like, you know, the Splash Brothers. You know what I mean?
Right. Oh, no. Yeah, no, definitely. I could tell the difference. Are you playing on your, like, computer monitor? Or are you playing on, what are you playing on?
I got one of these stupid 48-inch ultra super wides.
Okay.
So it looks like a surfboard.
That's amazing.
It's huge, and I honestly think it's damaging my eyes. I don't know what to do, but it's way too big, way too dumb. But yeah, I can turn half of it. You can almost turn it into two separate monitors. There's two inputs.
Okay.
So right now I'm using it as my whole computer screen. But when I switch the mode, I could use like 2/3 of it. So I basically have like a really nice wide screen so I could see most of the soccer field, which is great. And then I used a little portion of it. It's like a laptop screen for my computer.
Oh, that's great. Like that's awesome. Like yeah,
my sister's boyfriend works for Samsung. So I got this thing for $200. It's like $1,000 monitor. Shit. Yeah.
Should we be saying that? Should we edit that out?
No, go for it. I mean, they don't know who he is.
Okay. I had.
He's the executive vice president. Of he is not.
You'll be like that. You'll be like that kid that who got in trouble because his mom worked for Nike and
he dropped like $250,000 on a credit card on her corporate card.
Yeah. Idiot.
Well, dumb. But hey, I mean, his mom gets fired from Nike. She's like, I now run your reseller business.
Yeah.
And work starts at 8 a.m. You going to make me lose my pension? We going to make a billy on this thing.
Yeah, that shit was insane. Oh, my God. Well, I can kind of tell that I can tell the difference in 2K. Like in 2K, the next gen looks great.
I've only played FIFA for the last like 15 years.
Oh, you're.
Yeah. Legitimately, I've not played any other game unless like I was at a friend's house or someone gave me a game by happenstance. Like I got this really bad game called like Soul Assassins, like a cheap game obviously I think it's built like on one of these like role player games that like, or first person shooter games that like they built like 10 or 15 games on top of. So it's just another, like, it's like a mystical one.
Gotcha.
And I played it like twice. And I was like, this is horrific. And I got Assassin's Creed, like the last version I remember, maybe
Valhalla?
4. I don't remember. But yeah, I got one of those just to try it out because everyone said it was so cool. And I was like, this ain't my thing. And I played like Call of Duty with my nephew every once in a while. And he just kills me. But yeah, I went like Halo and FIFA to just FIFA.
Yeah, I've mainly been like basketball and football for like the longest time. And
you
then
have to be like an offensive coordinator play Madden, though.
It's something. I look at FIFA the same way. Like when I remember the first FIFA was that 95 or 96?
I believe it was 96.
With Ronaldo.
Yeah.
Brazilian Ronaldo.
Yeah, Fat Ronaldo, as they call him.
Oh, yeah. That one was the shit.
Yeah.
I remember when that first came out and it was just like on Genesis. I was like, oh my God, this is incredible.
Dude, you could see the shadow of the lights in the night game. They did an amazing job in that game.
I've been a sports guy for so long. And then 2013, I got back into Tomb Raider and like these story based games. And my listeners know that I'm a big fan of the Last of Us franchise. And that's like the most beautiful game I ever played on a console.
I've never even heard of it.
I'll have to text you about it because it could be a drinking game every time I fucking talk about that shit.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
Do you stream at all? Have you got into that?
No, I think I'm not. I suck too bad to really do that. Like, I would just be dying a lot, you know?
That's hilarious.
So it's almost like, unless you just want to see me die and get your kicks out of that.
I bet you somebody would. I mean, I play FIFA against Christian. He's so much better than me.
Yeah.
And the times I do win, our fans go crazy. You know what I mean? Because, like, I clearly, like, not cheated, but, like, I played dirty to get it. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't a beautiful game. Like, I did something to mess them up, but we used to do a show called FIFA the News before we had like any listeners. It was very ambitious. It would take us like 4 days to edit this thing. There was like a green screen and we were at the bottom, and I would make him read me the news while we played because he was so much better than me.
So you could beat him.
Yeah. So he still beat me most of the time. I think the record is something like it was 3 wins for me and like 7 wins for him. But we would play the most important match that weekend. So if like United was going to play City, we would play that game, and I would play the better team every time. He wasn't allowed to be the better team. He would still win. And then I would be the one editing, and I would, like, animate the stuff he was talking about. So, like, you know, this guy, if we made a joke about, like, I remember I made a joke about the fish throwing from Seattle.
Yeah.
And it took me, like, 2 days to edit this 3D fish getting thrown. I mean, it was like, we would do too much editing and like no one would watch it. We get like 1,100 views on this thing at best, you know, and it was a lot. But I think people enjoyed watching me lose. I think that was like it was fun to see my reactions because I'm so like loud, you know?
Yeah. What has it been like for you? Has doing the podcast and the show, the TV show, has it helped you keep your sanity from not being able to go out?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I think we almost burned ourselves out because, you know, when you do a podcast, it's once a week, right? Unless you, yeah, you know, some people bank a couple episodes. We're right. topical, so we can't. So basically, we just know like once a week we're going to record. And yeah, we used to record every Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And it became the TV show. And then that sort of switched it up because they split. We would always do like 2-3 hour episodes. They said, we're going to do 2 hour episodes. We're going to split them into 2 television episodes. So essentially, mm-hmm, you're going to record 2 TV shows at once. And the audio of that is the podcast.
Okay.
So when the lockdown started, the head of the network was like, well, it's 2 weeks, so why don't we just take these 2 weeks off? We'll show best of episodes, which they had already cut up for us and some of the other shows on the network. They're like, we'll just show those for the 2 weeks, and then we'll come back to the studio in 2 weeks. And I remember saying, like, well, we've never missed a Wednesday. You know, up in that point, we had never missed putting up an episode on a Wednesday. So I don't feel comfortable not recording something. So I know no games are happening or whatever, but we'll still find something to talk about. I said, do you guys want the video of it? And you could put it up. You could cut it up and put it up yourself if you want. And they were like, no, but if you figure out a way that production could be involved in that, we'll put it up as an episode. And the way our contract works, it was to our benefit to do that.
Right.
So we said, yeah, all right, we'll figure this out. So Christian like downloaded like OBS, which is the thing you use to get on Twitch.
Mm-hmm.
And we were trying to figure out how to get like Windows in the whole nine. Through that process, after that first week, we realized that's not how we're going to be able to do the next week. I stood up to 4 a.m. to find the service we use now, which allows you to do a video like this, like a phone call, almost like a Zoom call. But it actually downloads my isolated video and audio from my actual computer, not what's being sent to you over the internet. And then it sends it to you at the end of the episode.
Okay.
So you get like pure mic and pure camera from everyone. So it's 1080p, the whole nine. So I say, hey, why don't we try this? And they said, yeah, you know, we're not paying for a studio, so we could throw money at this. Right. So we tried it. That company ends up blowing up because of us. We became their number one customer. Now they have like Hillary Clinton's podcast, and ESPN uses them, and Disney now uses them for a bunch of stuff.
Wow.
So yeah, they blew up, and they basically use us as guinea pigs because I found them at 4 a.m. apparently like 2 days after they first loaded that website. Like they had just figured out how to make it work and loaded it, and we're looking for like testers. So they used us as a test. Long story short, obviously we never went back. We've now been remote longer than we were in studio because we just got the show in September of 2019. Uh-huh. So I saw my friends in the comedy world. I would have had nothing. You know what I mean? I would have had nothing to do. I would have been sitting here kind of waiting with my wife going to work in a hospital during COVID when everyone else is at home. I think having something like this and having all this extra time and now kind of being familiar with all this technology, I said to Christian, like, let's add another episode. Let's talk about Premier League. I said, why don't we start doing stuff on Twitch? Why don't we do Instagram Lives? Like, we just started loading our calendar up with as much as possible. And it sort of stopped us from having to think about what was actually happening at a stronger degree. Like, everything we looked at was through the window of soccer. So like, how is COVID affecting the league? How is COVID affecting Europe? How is COVID affecting players that may have gotten it? Like, it became this thing that was sort of still outside of our world. So I think the weight of it didn't really hit us really probably until a couple months ago where we've just been inside for so long and not seeing each other, not being in the same room with someone you have great chemistry with is really difficult. And I think we found a pretty good rhythm, but for the most part, I think I'm pushing so hard I just got vaccinated. I'm trying to figure out how to help Christian get vaccinated. Like, I just want us to be able to get in a room together because it just changes everything. Just like reading each other's body language, me being able to sort of nudge them when I'm about to say something big, like all those like super second nature, natural things that you've kind of become familiar with aren't there. You know what I mean? And the show has sort of changed a little bit, but having something that you didn't have to sort of fight to keep alive, which I know a lot of people did amazing things to try to keep up their comedy shows, put it on Zoom and did all this extra stuff. But us having this one thing, which kind of was still tangible during something like this, that almost made it easier to book guests and stuff, kind of changed a lot for us. And it, really at that, during COVID, we kind of bubbled. We got the gig with NYCFC, which is the soccer team here in New York City, and some other stuff had come across our table. We started getting some really big endorsements. I think just the fact, like, Nipsey Hussle said this, and I think it's so true. You know, he says he didn't have a special gift. There's nothing that's magical about what he does. He just lasted longer than everyone else. You know, he just kept doing it. And I think to some degree, I think there's so much to be said about just not going away. And I think that was my big fear. I worked 7 days a week when I was 11 years old. I worked 7 days a week through high school, 7 days a week through college. Like, working hard is not hard for me. It's not difficult. It's not overwhelming to me. Like, it's kind of natural at this point, which is probably, I should talk to a therapist about it, but
that's like most minorities anyway. And you're first gen, right?
First gen. Yeah, for sure.
So it's,
dude, I got fired from day one from a job at a factory when I was 11 years old. And I lied and said I was 11. I shouldn't have worked there. Like, they asked me, like, they filled that paperwork and the lady knew, but she was like, "What's your social security number?" I was like, 9, you know? And she was like, "Okay, that's not how that works." I was like, "Oh, it's the one that looks like a phone number, right?" And she's like, "You got to get out of here. You know, it's got the dashes in it." I got fired because I fell asleep. I was so tired because I was also playing on the football team at the time. I was so tired that I fell asleep on the job after school and I got fired for it. And I remember I went home and it was like the man of the house got fired and lost his pension. Like, my mom was so disappointed in me. And I'm like, "What? Like, I just got the job the other day. Like, I'll get another one." And it was like, "No, you don't understand. We don't get fired. We work hard, you know?" And turns out
I'm 11.
Yeah. Turns out even later we do get fired. I think when you look at sort of that structure of my life, what's happened since COVID makes sense. Like, I've just been told, like, "You'll have time to relax later. Just go work, do your thing." And I think I look at comedy the same way. Like, when I started doing stand up, I thought I was like a big shot because once I got booked on a show, I thought, "I don't need open mics anymore. I'm good. I did it." Yeah. I got booked on a show and here comes the avalanche. You know?
Right.
And I remember I was getting like one or two spots a week, which is pretty good. But when you first start, but like I wasn't progressing and I kind of was upset about it. And I happened to see Mike Lawrence at the time on the train. And I said, "Dude, how you doing?" He's like, "Great, I'm going open mic." And I was like, "Open mic?
Yeah.
Like, you were just on TV. Like, what are you going open mic for?" And he was like, "How many shows a week do you do?" And I was like, "I get up at least 3-4. I'm like doubling the number. Mm-hmm. And he was like, "I get up 10. He goes, "I get up 10. And I go, "Wow, you get 10 spots?" And he goes, "No, I get maybe 5 or 6 spots. But the rest I fill in with open mics. As long as I'm up 10 times a week, I know I'm good." So I said, "You know what? If he gets up 10, I'm gonna get up 20. Like, if he's doing great, it's because he gets up 10. I'm gonna do 20. And like, that's just how I've always viewed everything. I think Christian's not the same. So I think I've almost burnt Christian out a couple times because I'm always throwing stuff at us to do. But it's that balance. And I think we've been able to find it, oddly enough, during COVID.
Yeah, I think that's how it is, man. I think it's just kind of about the grind, and you have to do something to keep yourself sane. I mean, I have my work, my day job, and then auditions are a time where I can actually work on my craft and all that bullshit.
Yeah.
Even when you don't book shit, but it's like,
tell me about it.
Yeah, I'm not.
That's what you reminded me before. I printed out an 11-page sides for an audition.
11
pages? That's due tomorrow. I'm like, why? Just give me a camera and put this in the movie. 11 pages?
Yeah.
That's a short. That's a sketch.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Damn.
Maybe you're doing more than one scene.
It is. It's two scenes though.
Okay.
But still, for an audition that's due tomorrow at noon?
Wow.
Bruh.
Well, I mean, that's kind of the game. Some parts are bigger than others, but yeah.
I hate it.
Yeah, I don't like having to memorize that stuff, but like, give me the fucking part. But that's how it is. It's just part of the game. What part of Newark did you grow up in?
I'm from the North Ward.
What is that? Because the only thing I know about Newark and most like of New York is just where I've performed at. And when I first started, I would go when I wasn't getting booked in the city, I'd go to the Ironbound section.
I used to do an
open mic at this place called Seven Burritos. It was a play. It was like a religious burrito spot.
Oh God, no. No. That's so Newark, by the way.
Yeah.
Damn. So That section, the Ironbound's like the nice section in North.
Okay.
That's I do a joke on stage. I actually put this up on Instagram where whenever someone's like, I'm from Newark, and I'm like, oh, what part? And they say Ironbound. I'm like, that's where we summered. You know, it's like it's beautiful, you know. That was like the cool restaurants, and that was like the nightlife section in Newark.
Yeah.
Like all the Brazilian chicks and Portuguese chicks hung out there.
Yeah.
Like it was like that's where you went to, like when you wanted to flex, that's where you went. It's like the South Beach of Newark, you know what I
I
mean?
briefly dated a Puerto Rican girl that was living in that area. She lived in Newark, and when we hung out there.
Yeah, it's like the
And
place you
yeah.
go to where like you're not gonna have problems. Like even like rival gang members would be down there partying at the same place. I'm like, we don't shoot up Ironbound, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the cops care too much over here, you know what I mean? Like this isn't where the beef is gonna happen. But once I see you, once we cross the, it's called Ironbound because it's surrounded by train trestles. So
Oh, okay.
because bound by iron. But once you
Sure.
cross the train trestles, you go underneath like where Newark Penn Station is. You're in downtown, and it's like all bets are off. Now it's
Yeah,
ready to
it's
go.
different.
It's changed now because of the Prudential Center, but back in
Yeah.
my day, you know, like once you were downtown, you were free meat. You know what I mean? Like
Yeah.
it was you were ready to go. Like if you get your bike in Ironbound, you were safe. But I'm from the North Ward,
Okay.
which is over by like the Saint Sacred Heart Basilica,
Okay.
right? Is that the name of that? I can't. I
I
forget the
think.
name. The cathedral, the big cathedral up there. The colonnade is up there, like by 280. I'm from that area, which was like. It's so funny. I just did a show in Greenpoint, and someone was like, I'm from Newark too. And I was like, oh yeah, what part? And he was like, Weekwick. And I was like, hey, Shaq. And he goes, you from the North Ward. I'm like, why, how you know that? And he goes, ah. And I go, what the fuck is ah? You know, he like put his hand in front of his face and he goes, you Latin. He's like, all Latinos are from the North Ward or Ironbound. And I was like, all right, you make a good point, actually. Like
There you got me.
that was our section. And it was all Puerto Rican, Dominican, but we also had like a lot of Trini and Jamaican.
Yeah.
It was great. I loved it growing up. My house was huge. Like you would think it was a mansion if you just saw a photo of it. But it happened to be in Newark. That's like what a lot of houses in Newark are like, you
There's
know?
some beautiful, you know, part of it reminds me of like Northeast DC, where my great aunt lived. There's certain, but it's like these massive houses.
That's where my section was. I didn't grow up in one of those homes,
Yeah.
but there's like doctors' mansions that happen to
Yeah.
be in Newark. You know what I
It's
mean?
like
Like,
hood shit. It's the hood, but then there's certain little enclaves, little pockets that are fucking beautiful.
Yeah, dude, I remember there was a subcontractor's daughter I had a huge crush on. She was half Italian, half Puerto Rican.
Yeah.
And I remember
Oh my
walking
God.
into the house. The house was, it's hard to explain, but it's like those doors that are cut in half, but the top is oval and the door goes all the way up. So like when you open it, it looks like castle doors almost,
Sure.
but it was really tall. It was like you walk in, it was like palatial, you know, like the front, it looks like the bachelor shot there. Like the front is like a big open space with like spiral stairs leading to like, you know, like an entryway. It's just wild. And my house didn't look like that, but we did have 7 bedrooms because that basement had been refinished so
Wow.
that my grandparents could live down there. I mean, we had a big family. The attic was my bedroom. So like we had a home, but yeah, like you open the door and it's like dudes on the corner. You know, it's like it is what it is. Like anywhere else that's kind of hood and looks kind of like a nice place at the same time. You know, it was the same, but yeah, I'm from the North Ward, very proud of it, very happy to be from Newark. I pronounce it Newark, Nork. That's how you pronounce it when you're from there.
You and Gordon Baker Bone.
Yeah, because when you're from there, that's how you pronounce it, Nork. Actually, it's so great. Like, we used to joke around and say North Newark, NORF, Nork. And I found this group called the Newark Project, NORK Project. And they do like, they're based in Newark. It's a bunch of artists that are based in Newark. And they do different like collabs and stuff to help promote Newark and to help build up that city. It's beautiful to see because it wasn't like that when I was around. So it's kind of
Yeah.
nice to see that someone cares about it now.
Anytime a Whole Foods goes up, that means like things are
Something's
changing.
happening.
Yeah. Right before I left Chicago in 07, they put up a Whole Foods. And it was in, but it was in like I lived on the, if you're familiar with Chicago, it's like Wrigleyville where the Cubs play, and it's like connected to Boys Town, like the gay part of the North Side. Even though Andersonville, when I was there, it was like Andersonville was further north, and that was gay too, also. But they threw up a Whole Foods, and I was like, oh yeah, okay, rent's going to go up.
Rent's going up. I love
Yeah.
Pilsen. Pilsen's the best.
Yeah, I fucking love. I need to get back when things open up. I gotta get back out there,
dude. We were on a steady diet of going to Chicago like twice a year, you know.
Okay.
And before COVID, and it just hasn't happened, which sucks.
I can't have you on here and not talk about pizza.
Hit me.
As a guy who loves pizza, I don't really get the schism between like the deep dish and New York style or regular or whatever you call it. I like them both. Why is it just like a regional thing that just gets people riled up?
I think it's the fact. It's hard to say this because it's going to sound like I'm biased towards New York. I am. It's the fact that Chicago claims that they're like some type of pizza capital. And they're claiming that deep dish is like, you'll hear people say like, this is real pizza. It's not super thin. Mm-hmm. And it's like, there's regional styles of pizza. If people don't know, like Detroit pizza is blowing up. Like it's.
Why did Pizza Hut get rid of it? I know you would look at that as blasphemy.
Yeah.
But
I almost don't care. Why Pizza Hut got rid of it.
But they had it for a couple weeks, but it's not bad. It's like I can respect your opinion of trashing it, yeah. But like most people, this is what I don't like about people on social media. They try to act like they're fucking elitist. We're right. Comics. We travel everywhere. We go to different places and you try the different foods and stuff, but you can't act like you've never been to Applebee's in the middle of nowhere. Fucking
of course.
Upstate. That's what I hate. That's
hate. Here's what I didn't realize. And I think this is a bias from people from the East Coast. Mm-hmm. Going, if you're from New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, PA, certain parts of PA, if you're from more of a city, going to Applebee's is like, you know, you have maybe your mom and your aunt and they don't know what they want. So you go to a place with a big menu or it's like kind of like, who cares? I just want a quick drink, mess with my friends. It's like, it's almost like not a joke, but like a slightly ironic that you're going to Applebee's.
Yeah.
I've been to places in this country traveling as a comic where I didn't realize sometimes that might be your best choice.
Yes.
And that to me, like it did change the way I joke about those places because I remember I had a friend who was like, yo, you want to go to Houlihan's, which is like an Applebee's style place.
Yeah.
You want to go to Houlihan's. They got great appetizer. They got great appetizer deals for happy hour.
Yeah.
And I remember saying like, the hell's wrong with you? And he's like, come on, it'll be fun. And I'm like, all right, you're right. I went to a place where I was eating an Applebee's and I was like, yo, I wish they had a Houlihan's here because it's better than this. Like, I was like, I can't believe this really is your best option here. And I remember saying like, if you don't eat an Applebee's to the lady like at the work that the hotel was staying and doing this weekend, I was like, if you don't eat at the Applebee's, where else would you go? And she's like, oh, I know you're from New York. She's like, look, the real options we have here are all those chain restaurants.
Yeah.
Unless you're willing to go really far into downtown to find like a mom and pop. And I'm like, I'm going to go get breakfast at a mom and pop place. And I'm like, well, this is garbage. Like, I get why people go to the Dunkin' Donuts and I get why people go to Starbucks and get a bagel is because you're not offering anything better. And I get why you're not offering anything better is because no one's coming here. I'm like, this whole thing is upside down. So when it comes to Pizza Hut, the thing that shocked me the most was I've hung out with like some of the best pizza people in the world. I've been friends with some of the best pizza people in the world. And they'll say like, oh, as an example, this is hypothetical, but Joe's Pizza is trash because Joe's Pizza uses these ingredients. And while if I'm looking at it rating based on quality of pizzas we have around us, you're kind of right? Like they're not using the best ingredients. I know why they're doing it, but they're not using the best ingredients. But if we look at it in a worldview, if you come from the middle of Wisconsin, and I've had the pizza in Wisconsin, which isn't terrible. Zaffiro's is okay. But I have Joe's Pizza for the first time. It's going to blow my mind. Mm-hmm. All I've ever had was, Papa John's and Domino's and all that. Joe's Pizza, it will blow your mind. That will be the best pizza you've ever had. And I think sometimes we lose that perspective. It's funnier to not have this perspective and to sound like an elitist. For all of our Patreon members on our Slack channel, we have a place called Rate My Pizza. And they'll put up a photo of pizza they've ordered. And I taught them to like take a picture of the crumb shot, the underneath, the whole nine. And I trash it. I tell them, here are the ingredients they're using. Here's the quality of oven they use. Here's the oven temperature and the fuel they use. And here's what they might have done wrong. They overproofed the dough or they didn't proof it at all. Like I could break down a pizza that way just from looking at it. And these people are just like, dude, this is by far the best pizza I have available. And I'm starting to feel bad.
Well, it's different when you live here. And sometimes when you live in this area where we live, it's like you kind of what do you call it?
Regional bias or whatever.
Regional bias, but an embarrassment of riches in a way. I guess.
Yeah.
Because for me, like New
York,
we're
privileged. We're food privileged.
Yeah, because I haven't really had that much pizza in New York, except like I love Emmett's.
Emmett's is incredible. Emmett's a good friend of mine.
Like I go there like at least once or twice a year, to get a pie. And the last I went for my birthday a few weeks ago, and I froze some of it. I got a large one. And yeah. I froze a couple slices and then ate it, you know, finished it a week or two ago.
Yeah, no, Emmett's the homie. He does an incredible job, too.
Yeah, that's fucking, like, that shit is worth every penny. I overtip, and it's great. I love that place.
He also, low-key, has a great burger. His thin crust is incredible. He has
I tried it. I liked it, yeah.
He has a pie. He names his pies from, like, cartoon characters. So okay. He has, or stuff from, like, he remembers growing up. He has one called Big Gay Al, which is the... I guess the South Park character.
Okay.
It's the Italian beef. There's the joke.
Yeah.
On the thin crust pizza with the giardiniera, like that pickle, the beef, the thin crust that he uses double zero flour. Like all of that mixed together, just an incredible pie. And he cares so much about his pizza, his burgers out of this world. But that's what I mean. There's so many New Yorkers are like, because Emmett once said, I want to have the best pizza in New York. And I'm like, well, you're making the wrong kind. And him and I had like, a debate, not an argument, like a gentleman's debate about whether he could ever actually qualify for the best pizza in New York. And we ended the argument by saying the reason I believe he never will is because not enough people will give him the credit because it's not New York style.
Yeah. Except you, me, Clark Jones, and Will Miles.
Right. Two dudes from Chicago, guy who eats too much pizza, and you who live there.
Yeah. That's it. Like, cause that's the only, I don't count Uno's. I like Uno. It's fine, but
Uno's is the McDonald's of pizza, though, isn't it? Like Chicago pizza, I mean.
I think when we were younger, it was good. Like, if you didn't have an option. I mean, you lived here, so it's different for you.
Oh, we had Uno's out here.
But in the suburbs, like, it's kind of like, if you take a trip to, like Southern Maryland. I'm from Southern Maryland, but if you drive, like, to, like, Charles County, it's like a... There wasn't one Uno's out there, but now it just seems like it's more ubiquitous. And I've been to the original. It's fine.
Yeah. You know,
it's fine.
I remember I went there when I was a kid and there was pizza that the crust itself on the bottom had cheese and ham inside of it.
Wow. Yeah.
So I was like, y'all are doing too much. Like, you know what, pizza's not supposed to be like this, right? Like, I remember just as a kid, like, this is like a Disney cartoon version of a pizza. This is insane. Yeah. I remember it being too much, but I loved that. I got one with potato on it.
Wow.
When I was a kid, there was like mashed potatoes on top. Holy and I just remember being a kid and being like blown away at like the amount of flavors. Like pizza for us looked more like Ninja Turtles would eat it, you know? Yeah. I mean, this was different. So I remember being like amazed by it, but I never did really think of it as pizza until I learned more about pizza. And to this day, I still have them. Like, we also view restaurants differently. Like, Emmett is like proud to say Lou Malnati's has like 55 locations. And I'm like, that makes your food trash because you have to make it be consistent across all those places. And it's really hard to do that with dough. Like, dough is very temperamental. You know, yeast is very temperamental. So I'm like, you have to make everything, you have to sort of dumb everything down so that it tastes the same across the board. So as far as I'm concerned, once you get to your third location, you've already taken the menu and you've already cut it down and you've already sort of made it so that it's easy to teach people that you hire for the first time. And when you go through so many employees every few weeks and you have to be able to train them quickly. I'm like, you're already minimizing sort of the potential of these items because you're saying we just want it to be the same wherever you walk in. And that's why, to me, hearing something like 55 locations in Chicago, that's like, you're a great success.
Yeah.
To me, to a New Yorker, you're like, you watered down your own product. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, you want to have one great location and like a few satellite spots. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I've only been to, I think, maybe one, which is in downtown Chicago. I think it's like, I've only been to one location there, but it is very good. I thought about ordering doing those
the gold
belly stuff. Yeah. And I did it something like that for my parents and got them Giordano's. They said it was good. That's the first deep dish I had when I auditioned for theater school. My dad and I flew out to Chicago and we ate at Giordano's. It was really good.
Giordano's, if you're going to order frozen pizza, I always say get a deep dish. It just travels so well. You know what I mean? And it cooks so perfectly.
I'm going to try. I might try that. And then Chicago, like there's all that talk about the deep dish. There's a place in the north suburbs called Barnaby's. Have you ever heard of that?
I have not heard of Barnaby's. I thought you were going to say Vito and Nick's.
It's like a crinkle cut. Like their crust is really interesting. It's nothing super crazy, but it's good. I'm going to try to find it so I can. But yeah, like I like those places. I don't know why there's such a beef, but
you guys, you know, Jordan, like we got to hate Chicago for something. You know what I mean?
I guess that's true.
You ruin the Knicks' chance. You ruin every New Yorker's dream of having a parade with Patrick Ewing in it. You know what I mean?
And they won't let him into the game.
Yeah, I know. And then when your boy goes to become a baseball player, then here comes Hakeem Olajuwon. Like there was nothing. We blame Chicago for everything.
Yeah. I don't know. I love Chicago. I was there when I moved there from Maryland when Jay Williams was a rookie. And I remember him and him, he went at Jason Kidd and it was an awesome game. It was, you know, he had so much potential, man. And he's
Jay Williams from Jersey.
Yeah. Jersey guy.
Yeah. I'm looking at this Barnaby's now. This is dope.
I'm gonna get you the Yelp thing, so you can. Oh, it's temporarily closed. Oh,
yeah, man. Dude, a lot of that. It's so funny. People keep asking me for like restaurant advice, like where to go and blah blah blah. And I'm like, it's so difficult because I don't know if half the stuff is open. Like I'll tell you the places I go to. A lot of them are gonna be around me, you know.
Yeah.
There's a couple of really good spots though that I think have sort of, you know, worked through COVID and found a really good. A really good pace. And I think a lot of that is those are the places that I'm promoting as much as I can.
One of my places, because I try to do that and support the small businesses. There's a place in Ramsey, New Jersey called Kinchley's Tavern.
Oh, Kinchley's Pizza is classic.
I love it. It's great. Like that is my favorite. And then one time
they invented their own pans to make that.
Oh, they
pizza.
Did. Oh,
yeah. They basically took like what you would use for a deep dish pizza and cut, like, let's say 2/3 of the wall off.
Okay.
So they grab it from the edge, and that's where they put the pie in, like, the thing. So it almost looks like a flattened spoon.
Oh, okay.
That's what the pizza, because they're, like, Kinchley's is bar pies. They're all, bar pies are cooked in a lightly oiled pan, super thin crust. It's real Jersey style. Star Tavern became famous for
that
it.
That I have not been to. I heard.
Star Tavern is worth it. It is pretty great.
What about Santillo's?
Santillo's is... You know, I'm from Newark. Elizabeth is like the other part of Newark. You know what I mean? And Santillo's reminds me of my neighborhood. My neighborhood where I grew up was Italian before like all the influx of Latinos got there. So there still were a few places growing up that had like the crazy old white guy running it. You know what I mean? Santillo's is that. You order pizza based on the year. So you're like, let me get a 1965. Let me get a 1958. Like, it's kind of cool. Like, the way it's like, it looks like you're going into a dude's house. It's just such a dope that a place like that, like that's the kind of place where like, if I had, I mean, I do have a car, but like if I had time and like I had friends coming into New York, like, and I'm like, you want to see something dope? I'd take them to White Manna and Hackensack.
I went there last week.
Did you? Just the best slide you'll ever have. And I take them to Santillo's. Cause that to me is like, this is what Jersey is.
Yeah. Yeah, I want to talk about White Manna and the fucked up burger pop-up that I talked about, and then we'll wrap this shit up. We need more time. I need to have you on another episode. But
I want to come back, dude. I love talking to you.
So me and Damian Lemon, he hit me up. He's like, oh, have you ever heard of Santillo's? I was like, yeah, just never went. And he was like, let's go there. Let's pick a date and go. It's deep in my, if I was ever on Hot Ones, they'd probably find it, you know, do a deep dive on my Instagram. He and I went there.
What's Dame up to, yo? I haven't heard of him in a minute.
Doing his podcast and he's killing laying it. Laying low.
Is he in Jersey?
He's in North. What is it, like Harlem, Washington Heights.
Oh, Wash Heights. Okay,
not far from, I guess, where you used to live.
I lived on the Upper West Side. Yeah, I lived
Upper
on
West.
77th.
Yeah,
for a long time.
So he and I went. This was like a couple years ago, and you there's nowhere to sit.
Yeah.
So it was like, you got to go to the bar across the street. And we were like, oh, is this kind of sketchy? Is we're two black dudes, and it, we went and over.
You do feel like you're in an old time neighborhood where you're like, yeah, should I be
the
here?
The fuck you doing here?
Yeah.
But they, we, you know, it was, we had a fucking blast.
Yeah.
We just bought some beers, and the pizza was fucking great. I got to get down there again, but it just seems like it's too much of a chore.
He also closes when he wants, so it's difficult. Yeah.
So maybe I'll have to hit him up too. But yeah, it, as far as Jersey's concerned, it's just been Kinchley's and Santillo's that have been good. I mean, you know, like there's a place called Presto's near me down the street that's not bad, but you know, I don't know.
You still in Bloomfield?
Bloomfield, I'm in Hackensack, so Bloomfield's like half. What is it, a good spot down there?
No, I was just trying to think. Like, I don't remember there being great pizza in Bloomfield. Like if I lived in Bloomfield for a year, and I would go back into North Newark.
Okay.
To go, like, eat at the pizza places I grew up with.
I have to find out where Darren Patterson and J.L. Covan eat at.
Yeah. I forgot J.L. moved out there. What happened at White Manna?
Okay, White Manna. So, all right, I talked about this on a Patreon, but not on this one. So I follow this blog called Boozy Burbs, and it's basically a blog that tells you about openings in North Jersey and the Hudson Valley. So every time something will pop up, oh, this store opened in Paramus, this store opened in Nanuet.
Yeah, I remember there was a lady that did that for like Montclair.
Yeah.
That we used to follow that year we lived in Bloomfield. Yeah.
So they would post and stuff. Then this guy posted something. Oh, this guy who runs this restaurant in Emerson or something like this, like 15, 20 minutes away, town, 15, 20 minutes north of me. And they're like, oh, they're doing this burger pop-up inspired by White Manna. And you follow the Instagram and there's going to be a pop-up at 12 o'clock or 2 o'clock on Sunday. And I was like, okay, I'll support a small business. I followed them, got the info, tried to do a call and order, nothing, line busy. I said, okay, it's Sunday, let me just go down there. Line almost wrapped around the building. I get there, I'm waiting like 15 or 20 minutes. This young couple is in front of me. They're taking pictures of the line. Look how long this fucking line is. Look at these idiots trying to get some sliders. And people are passing us. I'm like, you know what? This kid's in front of me left. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to fucking Shake Shack. And then come to find out, they sold out in an hour. They sold out, and there was not like you couldn't get a call in. Some people were doing call ins, but they mysteriously were able to get through. I was just like, fuck this, man. And then the guy was like, oh, I'm sorry, we sold out in an hour. Thanks for all your support, blah, blah, blah. And then I just said, let me just go to White Manna the next, like a couple days later. I said, oh, this is the realness.
Yeah.
You know,
why do some inspired by it? Go get the real shit.
Yeah, but I think they were doing something with the sauce, and I was like, okay, that'll be different. I'll try it. They had curly fries. White Manna has the crinkle cut.
Yeah.
I was just trying to be supportive, and it was just like, now I'm just like, fuck you guys. You know?
Yeah. If you're gonna do a pop-up, say like limited, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Give people the idea that, like, all right, follow this on Instagram. Also, if it's that popular, announce another one.
Yeah.
Announce another one so that people that actually waited and didn't get it don't get screwed. This happens a lot. Like right before COVID, I was coming up with like an idea for a TV show, essentially, or like a digital where we would get two restaurants and we would have a collab. So like I would be the one that would go to the restaurant and say like, I see what you're doing. I know this other place. They kind of do something similar. I think it'd be dope if you guys did something like a fusion. And then we would do like, we would bring the collab together, and we were working with like a big digital platform on it. And then COVID obviously cut all that out. But one of my favorite things about it is like, it really does sort of put like a new onus on both the restaurants and the chefs that are involved, especially with so many chefs that were like not really attached to a restaurant, that were kind of floating around the city.
Yeah.
Like at that time, I'm like, there's so many people here that are so talented.
Right.
We could just create, like, we could take, like, I knew this like dope Filipino chef and this dope like Italian pizza chef, like put them together and see what kind of food they can inspire. Like, he knows some incredible Italian food that's not on his menu. You know, some great Filipino food, which has like noodles and stuff in it. Like, y'all could really make some beautiful stuff together. Obviously put some stuff on a pizza and that kind of stuff, to me, like, it's great. But the whole thing of like, create this ambiance of like, it's exclusive and you got it. Yeah. It's like the sneakers app. No one's ever won. You know what I mean?
Started on that shit.
Yeah, it's like the vaccine and the PS5. It's like this chase, this goose chase. Don't do that to your customers. Like there was Nowon, which is one of my favorite restaurants in New York right now. Nowon. Okay. Incredible. Korean American dude runs it, and it's like he blends both. Like he makes like the rice cake, like the tteokbokki. It's the the long rice cakes inside the spicy sauce. He makes that with a chopped cheese sauce.
Wow.
So it's like a chopped cheese with like rice cake in it instead of bread. It's absolutely incredible. All his food is like New York and Korean inspired. He did a pop-up for like of tacos, like Korean and American inspired tacos for like 10 days. So I went, JF was with me. So we went together. We ate like one of each taco. And he's like, "What'd you think?" I'm like, "I loved everything, but there's also like this inherent sadness that you're not going to be able to get this again." You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's what it's kind of what makes it cool, but it's also like this should be its own restaurant or this should be on your menu. Like, you know, you're kind of messing up.
It's a bummer. Yeah.
And it's that feeling sucks.
Yeah, they're like I've been a little more. I've always said that I wanted to support these smaller businesses, and I've been a little more adamant than I have within the past year. Like that my favorite burrito place, this place, my favorite restaurant moved. They used to be in Hackensack. There used to be a place called La Frontera, and it was right across the street from the Hackensack prison. And
oh, I know of it.
Yeah, it was so good. Yeah.
That strip has like a bunch of good stuff there.
Yeah, and they moved to Wallington, which is maybe 20 minutes away.
Where the bowling alley is.
Yes. Is that a good, that's a cool spot, isn't it? That
bowling alley? I don't know. I went there once or twice. I think it was called Wallington Lanes when I was growing up.
Okay, so they switched. They must have changed.
I went there once or twice, like maybe 10, 12 years ago.
Oh, okay.
And I remember like, all right, I'm not a bowler, but this is kind of fun, you know?
It is fun. I just don't do it enough. Yeah.
I'm not sure if this is the place, but I think they were known for like having good food because most bowling alleys have like pretty crappy pizza and wings and stuff. But I think they have like really good food.
It's like the Topgolf version of bowling.
Yeah.
I've never been to Topgolf, but people love it.
Yeah.
Like this girl I used to date, I'm at Topgolf. I'm like, really? You golf? Okay.
It's like Chelsea Piers.
Yeah.
So, it's just everything with lasers.
They moved. So they moved. And I was like, all right, for my birthday, I'm going to go over there. And it was my birthday fell on a Sunday. And I went down there. I tried calling my order in and nobody picked up. I was like, okay, it's Sunday. Again, this was, you know, it's Sunday. I'll just, you know, whatever. I'll go down there. And it was packed. They weren't, and even before like restrictions were lifted, those motherfuckers was in there partying, music was going. I was like, okay. Yeah. And then like you got the wait was like 45 minutes. I was like, okay, I guess I'll go to Shake Shack. So that's another time a month prior. But I did end up going there after I got my first vaccine shot. And it wasn't bad, but it was a little anticlimactic.
Yeah, I hate when that happens. I remember this Minetta Tavern.
Yeah,
same name, but it used to be when I was a kid a completely different restaurant. In fact, the last scene of Sleepers was filmed there. So they used to have all these old characters of like actors you've never heard of, like you know your great grandfather would have never even heard of them. Like they were so old and so niche theater. You know what I mean? So I remember going into this restaurant with my mom and my cousins from Florida when they came in, and it was just like super old school New York. It's like what you imagine a downtown New York McDougal Street restaurant would be like when you're a kid, like people smoking, even though you weren't allowed. And, you know, you sort of waft through the smoke of the bar to go to the back. And in the back was just behind like shitty curtains. And the waiters were kind of mean. And, you know, the food was super old school, you know. And I remember going before they said like they were going to sell the restaurant. It was going to be converted into the super high end restaurant it is today. I remember feeling like, oh, the New York I grew up with is dead. And I went, and I was like, I made this big deal with my wife. I was like, when I went, I remember this happened and this lady, this and someone over here, there was like a famous person over there. And I'm like explaining the whole thing. And it was just a shitty old restaurant. Like it was, I'm like, I can see why you guys lost this. This sucks. I remember my favorite dish, which I don't know if they invented or just doesn't exist anymore, was something at the time was called chicken bocconcini. It's a piece of chicken breast cooked in like butter and sage.
Wow.
With noodles, and it's like super rich, and I just loved it. It goes really well with like an old fashioned or a Manhattan, or a glass of wine. It's just great, right? I remember saying to my wife, like, "Oh, you got to try this," and it was those like strips of chicken that are frozen from Costco. Like, I've seen them. Like, I know
no.
They're like formed. Like, they have this thing where like you could break them in the middle. Like, they come apart in the middle because they're formed.
Yeah.
And it was that. And I was like, guys, you know, like when I was a kid, it was like pieces of chicken thigh. It was like juicy, yeah. You know, and now it's just like this, like, you know, frozen.
Did you have a single tear, a single tear?
I honestly like didn't eat all the food. Like, we just had our drinks and I said to my wife, like, we got to go somewhere else. And we went to a Shake Shack. No, I'm kidding. That'd be hilarious.
And then we went to Shake Shack.
Yeah. And then we went to Shake Shack. That's gotta be a bit. Yeah. We went somewhere else. And I just remember feeling like maybe it's okay that era is gone. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Man, Alexis, this has been fucking great. You got to come back. Plug your show.
Yeah.
Plug anything you want to plug.
If you like soccer, I have a television show on Fubo Sports called The Cooligans. You can check us out. If you don't have Fubo and you want Fubo, we don't get any money for this, but you do get a discount in a longer trial period. You could go to FuboTV.com/Cooligans, COOLIGANS. That's COOLIGANS, FuboTV.com/Cooligans. You get a longer trial. You get some money off. I think it's like 30, 50 bucks off. But you can check us out at Soccer Cooligans on everything.
And I don't know shit about soccer. And I watch you guys. I think I tweeted you guys a year or two ago. And I was like, you guys are fucking great.
Thank you, man. That means a lot.
Yeah. You know, you want to support what your homies are doing, but it's like, it's easy with
Thank
you guys.
You.
You know,
yeah,
so.
We like to say it's a comedy show about soccer, not a soccer show that's funny. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. We're a comedy show. Like, we talk about so much other dumb stuff. Like the story I told about the picture, I'm on the next episode. I just completely roast Christian for this. He claims he had nothing to do with it, and then I sent them the photo. So it's a lot of fun. You got to see stuff like that. Like, I talked about how I almost got arrested while taking a shit at a stadium. Like, we just talk about our lives in soccer as much as possible.
I remember that story. Yeah. Well, Alexis, this has been fucking great. Thank you so much for doing it. Everybody, thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next time. Take it easy, everybody.